Good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn with me, Colossians, the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Today we have come back to Colossians after a long time. Today we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 18 and 19. What is the theme of Colossians? Anybody? Christ is supreme, therefore he is sufficient for all things. Christ is sufficient. Why Paul is writing this letter to the church in Colossae? Because of false teaching in the church. The false teachers are attacking the truth about the sufficiency of Christ. They are saying Christ is not enough. We need something else. We need the help of angels. We need to follow some rituals, some rules. Going back to the law, Christ is not no more enough. That is the false teachings in Colossae. But Paul, as a shepherd, he wrote this letter so that the church must know the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. Paul is teaching very clearly. False teachers are exalting the created beings like angels. We can read very clearly in this epistle. But we know that Christ is enough for us. But if you read chapter 2, verse 8, he started the defending the truth. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. There is a philosophy in the church. People are following. Then from verse 9 to 15, he talks about the sufficiency of Christ. Then moves on to explain the false teachings from verse 16 to verse 23 of chapter 2. If you read, when you are free, chapter 2, verse 16 to 23, Paul is focusing on false teachings so that the church may know what is wrong, so that the church may know who Christ is, his sufficiency. That today we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Again, it is talking about the false teachings, especially mysticism. We can see that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. Paul says like this: let no one keep depriving you of your praise, of delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head. That is the main cause why these people are teaching false teaching. From whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. It is very clear that the theme of this passage is flee from judgmental mysticism. Judgmental mysticism. Look at verse 18. It says, let no one keep depriving you from your prize. The literal translation of this phrase is, let no one condemn you. Let no one pass judgment upon you. But the basic meaning of this phrase, this verb mean in Greek, is to decide an umpire against one, to declare his unworthy of praise. Umpire is there, right? In the cricket team. So he decides who will win the match. He says, he declares the judgment. If that person is out, he says out. If that person is not out, he is not out. The same way these false teachers are declaring the judgment, but they are not declaring right judgment. They are saying, they are condemning the believers for wrong things. If you are not following our rules and regulations, if you are not following mysticism, then you are not a Christian. You need to follow these things. You need to observe these things. If someone is not following what they believe, then they are judging. They are passing judgment on those Christians in Colossae. Especially we have read, right, the things, what they are teaching, delighting in self-abasement and worship of the angels. See what kind of dangerous teaching they are explaining to them and motivating them. Taking his stand on visions has he has seen. Then boasting about that those people. Like, no, if someone is not worshipping angels, if someone is not humiliating himself, if someone is not respecting visions, they are judging. They are passing judgment. So Paul is protecting the church from these false teachers. It motivates, right? That flee from these people. These things are totally against the word of God, brothers and sisters. Against the Christ. Against Christ. Against the growth of the church. Paul describes the attitudes and character of these false teachers, who is condemning Christians, who is judging Christians. So Colossians should not let those men to judge, to pass judgment on them. They should not obey their judgment. They should not respect their judgment. We know, right, if umpire gives in cricket team, if that person is not out, he says out, then what that batsman will do? He will go to review. Then third umpire will check. Then what will happen? Even though that umpire gives judgment, the batsman, that team did not accept because he is wrong. So in the same way, if cricket team does not accept that umpire because he is wrong, if they are taking very seriously, what about the Christian life? What about faith? When false teachers are judging wrongly, we should not accept them. We should not let them to judge church people. That is the idea. Because those things are very serious things that will affect the church growth. It will dishonor the Christ Jesus, his glory, his sufficiency. So that's why I put the theme to flee from judgmental mysticism. We need to run away from these people. The church people should not look after these people. They must watch carefully what are the teachings they are getting. It is true, right? Even nowadays churches are facing false teaching. They are coming to our houses. They are coming on the street. They are telling, explaining things they believe. Brothers and sisters, you need to be careful about these people who preaches against the Bible, who preaches against the Christ, against Christ. So we need to run away from those people. Here are two expressions of mysticism that we must flee from. First expression of mysticism that we must flee, their mystical religious practices. Their mystical religious practices. We need to run away from this. Because they are practicing mystical religious practices. Look at verse 18, it says, let no one keep defrauding you of your praise by delighting in the self-abasement, the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions. About these all three things are talking about the mystical religious practices. These three mystical religious practices are connected each other. If you see, we can see later. Look at the word delighting. Please look at the word delighting. The meaning of this word is to take delight. Have pleasure. They were taking delight and pleasure in these mystical religious practices. That's what Paul is saying. They are not doing with a burden. They are doing these all things with delight. They are enjoying to worship angels. They are taking pleasure to beat themselves for unnecessary reasons. They are enjoying if they are receiving dreams and visions. Did you see what kind of situation they were in? They are practicing these things. They are taking delight. That another thing Paul says, the idea is they were regularly, continually delight in these things. They are not delighting sometimes. They are delighting, they are taking pleasure, an ongoing state, regularly, continually, they are taking delight in these things. Will anybody here delight to worship angels rather than Christ? We hate that one, right? We hate those things. But these people, they are delighting in those things. What a dangerous teaching that the church was facing that days. Three mystical religious practices are false teachers, we can see. The first mystical religious practice of false teachers is having false humility. Having false humility. Look at verse 18. It says, by delighting in self-abasement. Self-abasement. Look at verse 23. The same word the Paul used. Self-abasement. The literal meaning of the word which is used for self-abasement is humility. Actually in Greek it says humility. Is humility good or bad? Good, right? It is good. But Paul used same word humility for these false teachers. But in this case, this humility is not good humility. It is fake humility. We can say very clearly. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. It says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. The same word used for believers, the same word used for unbelievers, false teachers. The idea is the humility of false teachers is not good in any way. That is false humility, fake humility. The humility was exercised by false teachers so that it must be mortification or self-denial. That is why NASB, my Bible translated as self-abasement. This word used in Jewish and Christian literature to denote fasting and other bodily strictness. Like no beating your body, denying your body. Like doing fastings. Those are the examples. This word is used in the Jewish and Christian literature. Especially it is talking about, for example, food and drink are avoided. You should not eat food. You should not drink anything else. Water sometimes. You need to beat yourself. Following some of the legalistic rules and regulations when they are fasting. There are some rules and regulations when they are fasting. This is called ascetic practices. Okay, let me ask you, why were they doing this? Why they are beating their body? Why they are having fake humility? Some scholars say that these practices, like having humility, like self-denial, having fasting, everything were effect for receiving visions of heavenly mysteries. So why they are fasting? Why they are not eating food? Why they are beating their bodies? Because they will receive the revelation, the visions from heaven. That is the belief they had. That is the reason they are practicing. History says that some of the Jews believe that they will receive all kind of mysteries from heaven because of that fasting, the fake humility. I know one Christian who believed in Jesus. His parents hated him. They told him, you go out. Then he wants to travel one place to another place. Then what he has done, he took a bus, then he went another place. After that, he did not have money. Then he was walking almost 50 kilometers. Then I came to know, why you are walking 50 kilometers? There is one our friend, right? He said, on the way, another friend is there. He can go there. I can take help. He can stay there. But no, why I am sharing this? Some of the Christians, they don't know. They think the beating their body, make their body struggle is something spiritual. Unnecessarily walking, that person. One pastor has commitment to not to take ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ బస్, సూపర్ లగ్జరీ బస్. హీ ఆల్వేస్ టేక్స్ ఆర్డినరీ బస్. దెన్ పీపుల్ కాల్ హిమ్ వాట్ ఏ హంబుల్ మ్యాన్ హీ ఈస్, బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ ట్రావెలింగ్ బై సూపర్ లగ్జరీ బస్. హీ ఈస్ వెరీ హంబుల్ పర్సన్. సి దిస్ పీపుల్ థింక్ సంథింగ్ దే ఆర్ సో స్పిరిచువల్ వెన్ దే బీట్ దేర్ బాడీ ఇన్ సమ్ వేస్, వెన్ దే డినై దేర్ బాడీ సమ్ వేస్ unnecessarily. See, if I ask that person, one who is sharing with me, what about if he wants to travel one city to another city, from Bangalore to Goa, all things are luxury bus, right? Volvo buses are there. There is no ordinary buses from big cities. But for that, they are not answering. See, they want to show up they are something special. Unnecessarily doing things. Some of the present self-abasement practices of men, we can see. This is true in our generation also, brothers and sisters. Even most of the so-called pastors and Christians do this. Always denying the body through fasting. Through fasting. They are not careful about their health and body to get mysteries from the Lord, from heaven, to receive visions. Unnecessarily they are fasting. They are not providing good meals for their body. Something they are thinking they will be special. They are so spiritual. We can see that many ways, kneeling and praying. We know some of the churches, they used to kneel and pray. They don't want to sit on the chair. If they sit on the chair, something sin. So they always kneel and pray. There are many disadvantages of kneeling and pray in public meeting. Once I was kneeling down when I was going to church. Everybody is kneeling, just I also sitting down. There is no chairs in those days. Somebody is releasing CO2 in front of my face. So bad smell is coming. Because no, everybody is kneeling. So everybody has to put their head on the ground in the church. They think something special, something spiritual. Not one time, two times he released. Is this spiritual? Will these things make people so spiritual? See, people, to receive something else from the Lord, to get visions from the Lord, to show up they are so spiritual, they humiliate themselves. I am not saying kneel down and prayer. You can kneel down and prayer in your house. Don't show up in public. That's what I say. There are many ways you can pray. But always you need to kneel down and pray. So people used to do these all things. I experienced bad experience that was. That's why I'm saying that is not practically good. Practically good. People are doing that so that they can show up. But these false teachers promoting those things. Promoting those things. Why they are giving this kind of instruction, this kind of teachings to overcome sin, to get great job, to be spiritual, to see Jesus directly, to receive personal revelation, to know the will of God, whom should I marry, whom should I should not marry. The reality is Christ is the one who gives all spiritual growth, right? The word of God gives us strength to overcome sins. But no, many times people come and say, if you are doing fasting always, every time for these things, then you will get something. No. Even though you are not fasting, Christ will bless you. He is blessing you. He is helping you because He is faithful, not because you are working hard. But these people are encouraging those things. Be careful, brothers and sisters. These things can't make you so spiritual. You will not receive any special revelation and blessings from the Lord, but make you frightful. See, I am so spiritual. But see, others are, they won't kneel down, they won't practice fasting. They always see it like criticizing others. That will lead into frightful attitude. But don't hurt your body for useless reasons, brothers and sisters. Even it says, look at verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, it says that no one is act as your judge in regard to food and drinking. They are judging. Don't eat that food. Don't drink that one. They are implementing legalistic things to deny themselves. The second mystical religious practice of false teachers is worshipping of angels. Look at verse 18. Worship of angels. Look at verse 18. Delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels. They take pleasure in self-abasement and also in the worship of angels. As I told you earlier, they are taking pleasure. They are enjoying it to worship angels. So horrible it is. They are doing it, at the same time they are judging those who are not worshipping angels. That's why, you know, Epaphras ran to Paul. Paul, we are facing a very hard time here. Paul's teachers are coming and teaching these all things. Please do something else for us. So Paul wrote this epistle to protect the church. Worshipping angels. The meaning of the word, the worship, the verb is an expression of devotion to beings. Especially as it is expressed itself in cultic rituals. Cultic rituals. When they are doing cultic rituals, that time they are giving their devotion to angels. Bible teacher says that some Jews believe that the angels are present in Jewish schools. When they are teaching Torah, everything, the angels are presented in that schools. They believe that the angels control the course of the universe. Through that, they can control man's circumstances. Do you remember astrology? The people depending on astrology, which is connected to angels, somehow these angels are controlling the universe. Somehow these angels are controlling the man's lifestyle. So they need to depend on angels. They need to, for that they are worshipping angels. At the same time, they are judging people. In that they are doing one thing, submitting to angels, doing things, doing actions. What are the requirements needed in rituals? They are following everything. If they are doing those kind of things, brothers and sisters, how they will worship Jesus? These false teachers are very threat to the church. They want to worship weak angels. God had victory over them, right? If you read chapter 2, verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Whether it is demons, whether it is good angels, serving angels, whatever it is, you should not worship. Christians should not worship. Because they were created by God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. They are not worshipping who is before all things. They are worshipping who are created by the Creator, Jesus Christ. They want to delight in worshipping angels. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, we all know that. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit the salvation? Just they are servants. Just they were created beings. We should not worship. This is against God and Christ, brothers and sisters. There is only one God. Man should not worship anything else except Jesus, except God himself. Amen. We know 2 Kings chapter 10. If you see that story, we know one of the king, Jehu, he destroyed Baal worshippers. Then he wants to destroy all worshippers of Baal. Then he gathered all people and said to them, come all you worshippers of Baal. They all came to worship Baal in the temple of Baal. Then what happened? Then he provided some things. Give them garments, give them clothes. I am going to do great sacrifice to Baal. So everybody came there. But actually he wants to kill them. God has chosen him to destroy all Baal worshippers. Then what happened? When everybody inside, then he told commander, when offering is finished, you come and attack, kill each and every person. Then they killed each and every person. Many people. Kings chapter, 2 Kings chapter 10, you can see those stories. Then what happened? Verse 26 says, 2 Kings chapter 10 verse 26 says, they brought out the sacred pillars of the house of Baal and burned them. They also broke down the sacred pillars of Baal and broke down the house of Baal, made it a latrine to this day. Did you understand? He made that house of Baal, temple of Baal, he destroyed, made it as latrine. People are going to do what is there. Why I'm saying, see, before everybody is going there worshipping Baal, which is controlled by angels, everybody is not worshipping true God, worshipping false gods. So God hated it. The worship center he made washrooms, like public toilets. Now we have, right, good public toilet, modern toilets. But those days people used to go use public toilet. Israel going and made them messy. Why I am sharing this illustration, the true illustration, because God hates someone, some people who is not worshipping him, who is worshipping angels or created beings. God is very serious about that. He is true God. Christ is the one who deserves the worship. No one else. But these people are proclaiming those things. These people are saying that. Promoting their teachings. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. It should be our desire, right? Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. It says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will worship the Lord. We will serve the Lord. No one else. That should be our response. That should be our eternal response, brothers and sisters. But these false teachers are promoting angels. And also second thing, don't exalt angels in your prayer. Sometimes people always, Lord, send you angel, protect me through angel. See, don't exalt these angels in your prayers. They are just servants of the Lord. Amen. You can pray once in a while, once in a year, Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving angels as servants of us. That's okay. But always, sometimes people used to exalt. It is not right. Somehow, no, it is going. You are giving more credits to the angels. You should praise God. You should worship God. That is our response. We can learn from this passage and verse. The third mystical religious practice of false teachers is investigating heavenly visions. Investigating heavenly visions. These people are very smart. They won't investigate the things in the Bible. They will investigate about the visions. Look at verse 18. It says, taking his stand on visions, he has seen. The literal translation of this word is, he has seen entering. He has seen entering. Entering means, taking his stand means investigating closely. To investigate it, go into details. Here probably entering at the length upon the tale of what one has seen in a vision. Which means going into curious speculation about things that he has seen in visions which were granted to him. So they are discussing, they are going in details, they are explaining, see, I have seen vision. We see the literal translation, he has seen entering. we have only verbal participle, that is entering only, standing only. We don't know what is the object of that entering, but one scholar says that the entering here is heavenly place. It is a heavenly journey of the soul. So what Paul is saying, these people getting visions, that means in that vision they are entering into the heaven. They have seen the visions. That is the reason most of the good translator says that he has seen a vision, entering into a heavenly places. So what happened in Colossae? Some men were investigating their visions of heaven closely, going into detail about all that they have seen in heaven. As I defined above, they were entering at length upon a tale of what he had seen in his vision about heaven. Jude chapter 1 verse 8, even he says, yet in the same way these men also by dreaming. See, one of the characteristics of a false teacher is always saying about dreams and visions. Thus most of the people, they do not understand the visions and dreams is not biblical thing. It is against the word of God. They will twist the word of God. See, somebody, they experienced dream, they experienced vision, yet to complete the revelation of the God, revelation of God, he allowed dreams and visions those days. So after completion of the word of God, no need visions, no need dreams. 66 books are enough for us. So some people say that God has given these visions. These people are saying, do you think getting dreams and visions only problem in nowadays? No, in those days, people experienced that. People are thinking about the special revelations and visions. Especially, they have seen the heaven. One false teacher who wrote a book called Vision of Heaven. Maybe some of you know, he wrote that, but don't read that book. Just I am quoting that book so that I can give an example how people will explain about going to heaven. So he wrote that. In that book, he wrote like this. Just I am reading. Listen carefully. He says like this. Although I had this vision to heaven at the age of 8, I did not share it with people until my late teens. Lord began to speak to me while I was in high school and said that I was to begin telling what he had shown and told me when I was little. He said, I want you to put this into a book. That means God is telling him, you write a book. I will cause it to go around the earth. It will win more souls than you will in person, in your life and in ministry. Even though you are preaching, I will win many souls because of that, the vision, that story which you write on the book. God is telling to him. And I have done exactly that. I have written this story. When God impresses it on me, I retell it for the purpose of winning people to Christ. I am also be able to comfort those who have lost a family member, a Christian close to them, with the reality of heaven. What he is saying, he is comforting Christians through that vision. See, if somebody died, don't think about, I have seen the floors, golden floors, then I have seen Christ, he is so comforting, there is a good things in heaven, whatever he has seen, he is explaining to comfort a Christian. That's what he is using that vision. As of this writing, he continues, there are more than 1 million copies of the story of my visit to heaven in print in many languages. More than 1 million copies of the story of his visit to heaven. Holy Spirit wrote about these people in the book of Colossians. These people talk about visions which they have seen. so accurate, right? The Holy Spirit, the God is so loving, He wants to protect the church. He wrote this. People talks about visions of heaven. They will describe about heaven, which they did not see that. But actually, one who has seen heaven, he was silent. That one is who wrote this epistle. He has seen the heaven, he was quiet. Those who did not see a vision of heaven, they are discussing about the heaven, the visions. What a dangerous situation the church is facing. Even we are facing, right? This is exactly what Paul was saying to Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you should run away from these people, these men. Those who believe dreams and visions are false teachers, most of them are false teachers. Maybe some of believers are believing even visions and dreams, even now. Maybe they don't know fully the word of God, but they should come out of it. My question is like this. Is not the word of God enough for you? Do you want more than that? Are you not satisfied with the 66 books of the Bible? You need special revelation? Did you complete your Bible once in your life? Those people, they never completed the reading of the Bible at least once. But they want special revelation. See the hypocrisy. See, if they completed, if they know Word of God fully, I want new revelation, that is different case. Even they won't read the Bible, they always seeks the dreams. They always seeks visions. Why I'm saying this is because this is a very dangerous theory which is proclaiming more in our days, in past days. So Paul is condemning. The second expression of mysticism that we must flee is their prideful personality. First one is their mystical religious practices. Second one, their prideful personality. That we must run away from that. Look at verse 18. It says, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Verse 19, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Before verse 18 is talking about their practices and beliefs. The remaining words, verse 18 part B and verse 19, are talking about their character and their behavior, their personality. The result of believing mysticism is their prideful personality, prideful character. Two marks of prideful men. The first mark of prideful men is they are puffed up without cause. Look at verse 18. Inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Meaning of the word inflated is to cause to have exaggerated self-concept. To blow up, to blow out, to cause to swell up, make proud. They are being blown up and blow out. They want self-importance, that is the idea. Which means they are arrogant and prideful men. This is the reason why Colossians should not let any one of them pass judgment on believers. Why they were puffed up? Because of all the practices or belief about mystical religion. They had so much knowledge about self-abasement and worshipping angels, visions that they have seen. See, no one has seen vision. I have seen. That's why I am writing book. You need to read that. See, I am so special. It's like, you know, they are blowing up. They are boasting about themselves. They are arrogant. I am first-class citizen in the church. You all are second-class citizens in the church. Because I have special revelations. Because I worship angels. Because I am practicing many things. I am fasting 40 days, 100 days. You are eating every time. So, whatever they are doing, based on that, they are boasting themselves. That's what the Word of God is saying. because of their experiences, their character is the prideful. They are prideful men. Because they have so much knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1 says, we know that we all have knowledge. The knowledge makes arrogant. The same word translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1, arrogant. But here inflated. The same thing. This is true even now, brothers and sisters. But look at verse 18, it says, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Look at the phrase, without cause, which means vain and useless. They are arrogant in vain. There is nothing in life to feel proud about themselves, but they feel proud about themselves. See, one thing I want to explain here. See, they are boasting themselves without cause. But why they are causing, we know all the mystical things, like religious practices because of that. So if that person is feeling those things are valuable, but what Paul is saying here, what God is saying here, vain. Vain. So what God is thinking vain, they are thinking those things are valuable. They are boasting about those things without reasons. We can say that groundlessly, they are being puffed up. They are blowing up. Look at verse 18. Inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Paul is explaining ultimate agency of their arrogance is his fleshly mind. They were prideful because of their fleshly mind. They were directed by the mind of flesh. Romans chapter 8 verse 7 says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 and 18. So this I say, affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentile also walk, in futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They were not born again. They were not regenerated people. God did not save them. They have fleshly mind. That's why they are boasting about which is useless. What are the useless things? Self-abasement, worshipping angels, at the same time, having dreams and visions. If someone is thinking visions and dreams are great, God is saying useless things. He is boasting about vain things, useless things. This is enough to convey the message to those who believe these all things. This is the mind that is set on the flesh. We have seen that. So one of the marks of the false teacher is that they talk about their visions and their religious practices. If someone is talking those things, not Christ, most probably he is a false teacher. He is a false teacher. Brothers and sisters, even as believers, what are the ways even we boast about ourselves? Even though we are not boasting about visions, even though we are not boasting about those things, what are the ways we are boasting? Prideful about our knowledge and gifts and status. And what are the things you need to understand? The prideful thing is a characteristic of a false teacher. But we need to be humble ourselves. Even though God has given many blessings to you, even though God has given many talents to you, when you are serving with that, don't boast about those things. Be humble. How Christ is humble. He became humble person. We can learn humility from our master, right? Jesus Christ. The second mark of prideful man is the most important thing. They reject Christ, the head. Look at verse 19. Not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together. This is the main reason why they practice and believe mystical things. The meaning of the term holding fast is committing to someone, hold fast to someone, remain closely united with him. That is the idea. But false teachers do not remain closely. They are not united with Christ. That means they rejected him. There is an idea about rejection of Christ. Why they are boasting about angels? Why they are boasting about visions and heavens? Because they rejected Christ already. That is the reason. This is also prideful character. Behavior of false teachers. This is rebellious act. Which is also shows that, prove that they are prideful people. Look at chapter 1 verse 18. It says, he is the head of the body, the church. Here we can see three sources that the body receives from the head. The first source that the body receives from the head. But false teachers do not receive these sources from the Lord. But the body receives. Those who have remained closely with Christ, they will receive. The first source is the source of nourishment. Look at verse 19. It says, from whom the entire body being supplied. The meaning of the term being supplied is to provide what is necessary for the well-being of another. That is the meaning. Christ is providing everything what is necessary for the well-being of the church. Do you want something? Do you want encouragement? He is giving. Do you want to grow in the word of God? He is giving those things. He is serving you. That is the idea. The support. Another meaning is support. Christ is support to help you to get everything what is necessary for you. It is not talking about the physical things. It is talking about spiritual things for your soul growth, for your spiritual life. The nourishment is coming from Christ. He is the head from whom the entire body is supplied. Did you see that phrase supplied? Paul indicates the body is constantly provided with energy and nourishment by the head. Christ provides, brothers and sisters, all things which the church needs continually and ongoing state. He is not supplying, he is not providing sometimes, he is providing every time what your soul needs as a body of church. Because he is the head, he is the provider, he is giving, supplying everything. Second source that the body receives from head is the source of unity. If church should be united, every person, every member in the church must be connected to the head, Christ Jesus. Look at verse 19. It says, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments. The body is held together as unity by that head alone. We all one, we have unity because of the head. The only one head. Because everyone is following his rules. So we have that unity. So our master is one. Our head is one. Whatever he says, we are receiving, we are doing. So we are united. That is the idea. If someone is out of this body, someone disconnected to the head, he does not understand the commandments, the wish of the head, Christ. So we have unity because of Christ. Even though we are from different culture, even though we are from different language, even though we have different skin, everything, but we are united because of our head, Jesus Christ. We are connected with him. That's what he's saying. But these false teachers, they don't have unity. They don't work with the church because they don't have connection with the head. They always connect with the people who are disconnected with the head already. That's what Paul is saying. Then look at being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments. This is complicated language, figurative language, sometimes Paul uses in his writings. But which means, here it means probably to ministers of the church in this context. Christ uses them to nourish them, to unify them through their preaching of the ministry. So Christ is the source of nourishment. Christ is the source of unity, but God uses men, pastors, godly men, to nourish them, to make them to have unity. brothers and sisters, all members of the church, dependent on the head for nourishment and unity. If some are not united with church because they are not connected with Christ. Did you get my point? If someone is not united with the church, he is not connected with head, Christ. Do you remember? People come to church, they go, they stay some years, then they won't come to church. They don't have any relationship with church. Why that person, that lady, does not have connection with the church? I mean any church. Why that person is not going to church? Because that person disconnected with head. That's why he won't work with church. That's why he is not able to united with other members. But we are united by God's grace because of Christ, because of head. Amen. The thought source that the body receives from head, not only source of nourishment, not only source of unity, and also the source of spiritual growth. Source of spiritual growth. Look at verse 19. It says, from whom the entire body grows with a growth which is from God. Christ the head is the source of the growth. But we need to remember, God is the ultimate source of our growth. Because it says, right, grows with a growth which is from God. See, what we are getting point here, if you are connected with Christ, there is a source of spiritual growth. Even God is source to that person. God is giving source to have spiritual life. Christ and God working together to help us to go spiritually. God the Father is source of our spiritual growth. Christ is the source of our spiritual growth. It is divine. It is talking about spirituality. How will the growth of the church happen practically? If you ask practically, I have one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So what Paul is saying, each individual person's work causes the growth of the body. So God is using each and every one of individual person's work, his gift, his service, then he is helping the body to grow spiritually. Amen. Did you get how the practically God is working? It is not like superficially God is like mantra, oh you grow now. He is using people, he is using each and every part in the body to grow spiritually, to go spiritually. That's why no, we serve one another. That's why we come to the church, we come to Bible study, we visit people, because we are serving, we are helping people to grow in Christ spiritually. But some of Christians, they won't understand this. They think that if I stay alone in home, I can grow. You never go in your life. You will grow when you come to the church. We will go when you meet people, visiting people, then you will grow. It is God made like that. That's why Paul gave that picture of body, right? The every part is together, work together. Why do false teachers will not grow spiritually? Because they are not working with others in the church. They mostly disconnect with true believers and true church. So they did not go spiritually. There is no spiritual growth, brothers and sisters, apart from Christ, the head. Sometimes I want to go spiritually. I am not growing. I am doing same sin again and again. Why you are not growing? Because you are not speaking with the people. You are not connected with the body of Christ. You need to talk with them. You need to share them. You must be discipled by each and every person. Not everybody, you need to choose at least one or two person. Just, we need to talk each other. We need to share our thoughts to each and every person. Then we will grow. Other person will counsel you. Other person will show the scripture how you can overcome those sins. So the main thing is we must connected with the head, Christ. At the same time, we must connected with the body. We work together. God blesses us. From that time only. You know, John's Gospel chapter 15 verse 4 to 5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither you can you unless abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So Paul is saying, don't listen to these false teachers, these people disconnected with Christ. Disconnected with Christ. Don't listen to them. Don't let them to judge you according to their mystical religious practices. That's what Paul is helping. I want to conclude this. We are hearing about much about war between Israel and Gaza, Hamas, fighting is going on. Then Israel said that those people living in north of Gaza, you need to move to south of Gaza, because we are going to attack to kill those Hamas soldiers, whatever it is. So what they are I have seen some videos, the people with kids and old people, and somebody were hurted, they were in hospital, no oxygen for them, no electricity, no treatment for babies. So many things are happening. But in that, Israel told you need to leave. Then I have seen in those difficult time also, they are taking their babies and families moving to the north of Gaza. Why they are leaving? To protect their lives, right? Even though they are losing everything, every facilities, their homes, everything, to protect their life, to leave, they are leaving that place, going to safe place. Why I'm bringing this illustration? For the physical life, to escape from physical life, these people are moving one place to another place. If you think about these false teachers, more dangerous than the physical death, they will harm your souls. They will teach all their rubbish teachings, dangerous teachings, and they will try to kill the souls of men. If to escape from physical death, people are moving one place to another place, why should you run from these people? To save your souls, which is most important thing. Even though you die, physical things, you will be with Christ. But your soul is dying because of these false teachers, more dangerous than wartime. You need to run away from those people. You need to protect your soul. You need to protect your family from these false teachers, which is most important thing. Which is most important thing. See, I am not telling who is wrong, who is right. Just I gave example to protect life. They are moving. They are running to safe place. You need to run to Christ to escape from these false teachers. God may help us to give strength and wisdom. Be aware of these false teachers, so that we will be useful for kingdom, so that we can save our kids from these false teachers. Let's pray. Grace Heavenly Father, come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, you are protecting us, our souls. You are helping us, Lord, to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for protecting our church from false teachers. Lord, help us to understand your word, to know your word. Thank you, Lord, you are shepherding us through your word. Lord, every nourishment and unity and spiritual growth comes from you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, so that we may cling to you. We always remain closely with you, Lord, not with false teachers, not with false ideas. But protect this church, protect us, each and every one of us, from false teachers. Help us, make us strong, faithful Christians for next generation. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.